views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Light on Living Abroad. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And as we build on this series of great adventure, travel, and investing, we are so happy to have Will Roadhouse back with us today. He is the CEO and founder of Compass Group International, number one real estate counseling firm in Central America. Will provides offshore asset management portfolio services for high net worth clients seeking a better return and asset protection in emerging countries in Asia and Latin America. He's also a frequent flyer who loves traveling the world so much that he's created TV shows and podcasts all about the amazing places to live for just $1,000 a month or less. So welcome, Will, to this edition.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me on the show. I may sound a little tired. It's 2 a.m. here in Bangkok.
We woke you up just for this.
But I'm happy to be here, and I'm always happy to hear your cheery voice.
Oh, quite the wake-up call. You know what's funny? I love learning about, as you said, you're in Bangkok, so I love learning. I was reading all the things and checking it out, and they have quite the nightlife there. Like, there's night markets, there's night cruises, there's like a lot of nightlife. Do you guys not sleep over there?
Believe it or not, we actually don't. And it's very interesting is a lot of people feel that places like New York or Las Vegas is a 24-hour city. But compared to a place like Bangkok or cities in Asia, it's truly not a 24-hour city. I mean, Lisa, for an example, the culture here in Thailand, the average Thai person eats roughly about 5 to 7 times a day because we graze here. There are so many places to eat at all hours. So right now, yes, it's 2 a.m., but earlier today, I was right across the street. I was having dinner with some friends in the evening, and we were having some great food in this outdoor cafe. And then after that, we went and had some beers at a craft brewery right down the street. And right now, it's still hopping. It's 2 a.m., and the streets are packed, lined up with great places to eat, great places to drink. It's just so much fun here.
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing, of course, because I mentioned, you know, how to live rather affordably, like $1,000 or less, and then I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, and most people might be thinking, well, oh, my, if we're grazing all day long, that's got to be expensive. But, in fact, it's not that much.
Not at all. So let's think about this. So let's look at the average retiree. That person is probably about 55 years or older. And these individuals are retired, and they usually have, they're always looking for something to do. And when I speak to so many retirees, Lisa, the number one problem that they have with being retired is they are completely bored. They have to get in their car and do everything. We're here, an average retiree living in a place like Bangkok or Chiang Mai or the beautiful island of Phuket or the beautiful beach area of Phuket, at all hours, we can walk outside of our condo, and there's plenty of things to do. So when I'm hungry, I can get a Thai sausage for 25 to 35 cents, or I can get a quick rice bowl or a little bowl of noodles for a dollar. That's how inexpensive it is, and that's why it's so easy to eat multiple times a day.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, because when you mentioned about, you know, when you're, once we're retired, we do actually have this kind of crazy energy that when, say we're 47, like say we're 47 years old and we're younger, but you know, we have all those stresses. We're still right in smack dab of our career or in the workforce. We're tired because of all the, like just the anxiety and stuff. But when we are retired, then our stress levels go down and we actually have more energy. So you're right. We're up and we're bored. We want to do more because we have that different life force flowing through us.
Exactly. And here's the other thing too. Here's a misconception, Lisa, is a lot of people feel or they think that retirees are 55 years and above. Yes, that's a mass majority. But here in Thailand, I meet so many retirees that are 35, 41, what? 39, because of how inexpensive it is to live here. You don't have to wait till 55 years old. I've met individuals in my building that are in their late 30s. They did very, very well. They saved and saved and saved. And here are these Australians, and they come to Thailand and they bring all their money, and now they can retire for the rest of their lives and just have a great time. So you don't have to be 55 years old.
And so we should share this, actually, because I just learned this and I was very excited. Now, I'm going to probably say it wrong, so you have to correct me. But one U.S. dollar is about 33. Is it baht? What is
B-A-H-T.
Yes,
so the currency here in Thailand is the Thai baht, and you are absolutely correct. So right now, for one U.S. dollar, it's roughly about 33 Thai baht. What I like to just make it easier for everyone is just make the assumption that the conversion rate is 30 to 1. So for every $1, it's 30 baht. So one of our bills is 1,000 Thai baht. So that's $30.
Gotcha. And so, as you just said, when you're picking up a noodle bowl, rice bowl or something for a dollar, this is so, how are they able to make it so cheap? Like, I'm saying cheap. I don't mean to disrespect that. But I mean, like, how are they making this so cheap?
Well, the reason why is Thailand is still a very, very poor country. And I'm just getting the average, you know, because a majority of the, I don't know if you're aware, but one of the major exports of Thailand is rice. So the rice that you're eating in Canada, the rice that Americans are eating, you know, in the United States, a lot of that rice comes from Thailand, and it comes from central Thailand. So central Thailand is a big, big area, and there's a lot of poor people. So the majority of the people in Thailand make anywhere from $1 to $5 a day. So if you make that little, it's not like you can afford of going to In-N-Out Burger and getting a double-double for $3.50. I mean, that's someone's wage for a day. And
right. So
that's why it's so inexpensive. And I'm not saying that in Bangkok, obviously people make more money. If you're making roughly at a salary of $1,000 to $2,000 a month, you're doing very well in Bangkok. And mm-hmm. So anywhere in Bangkok, yes, the average Thai, when they're snacking or buying something, is roughly about 30 to 35 baht, which is about a dollar, a little over a dollar for food.
Gotcha. So it's so interesting this. Now, here's a fun thing too. So I'm researching now. You live there, you've lived there. And actually, how many years have you been visiting Thailand or lived in Thailand, like Bangkok specifically?
I have been here for a little over 4 years. And if you don't mind, I'd love to tell the story of how I actually got here.
Please do.
Yes. So one of my best friends, his name is Bonde Sekozy, and his girlfriend, Shelly Goshka. And they're very near and dear friends of mine. And Bonsai has an amazing story. You can go to YouTube or actually go to any of my links and you can find his documentary. But Bonsai is Laotian, and he comes from a military family. So back in the days when there was a war in Laos, his brother, his dad was on the other side. And his dad was thrown into prison, military prison. So overnight, Bonsai and his brothers and sisters had to flee the country, and they all got separated. And I think Bonsai was maybe at that time, his real name is Zinzei. When he left, he went to Thailand, and he went to this place in kind of central or north, on the north eastern side of Thailand called Ubon. And Ubon is a very big city. And in Ubon, he lived in a refugee camp. So Banzai said, "Will, I know you have a production company. I would love to film a documentary of me going back to my refugee camp to visit. I know it's not there. I have not been back to Thailand in over 30 years. So Lisa," I said, "absolutely. I would love to go on this journey with you." So the three of us went to Thailand over 4 years ago. Banzai hasn't been back in 30 years. Shelley's never been there. I've never been here. And we filmed this documentary. We filmed all these emotions. It was an amazing journey. And in the 30 days I was in Thailand, that's when I fell in love with it. So I have to thank Banzai and Shelley for bringing me here.
Oh, I want to thank them too. And wow, I do. You know what? I would want everybody to see that. And because you just shared that story, and there is so much emotion in that. So you was there for 30 days. So in 30 days of never having been in this country before, not, you know, just what you see on the internet or hear stories, something changed inside you that, I'm asking this personal question, did something wake up inside of you, or was something revealed, or something you decided that was missing from your life, or something that you, like, what were the emotions that you went, "I'm going to buy a home here in Bangkok"?
You know, I have to mention something. There's a reason, Lisa, why I love being on your radio show, is because of the questions that you ask. You ask questions that no other interviewer knows how to ask. That is a question that nobody has ever asked me, believe it or not. And you just pinpointed it. The 30 days I was here in Ubon. So in Ubon, Lisa, it is filled with like four to five different colleges and universities. It's a very college town. Is a huge expat community. But in Ubon, people don't speak English. Okay. So why would I fall in love with Thailand if I'm in a place where I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere? There's no BTS system. There's no mega malls. Why would I love Thailand? It's because, Lisa, in the 30 days I was there in Ubon, I met some of the most caring and nicest people I've ever met. Everywhere I walked, I felt safe. And again, the last conversation we had, Lisa, was 24 hours after a Las Vegas shooting. And here we are, you know, you're interviewing me, and within 24 hours, it was that Texas, that mass shooting in Texas, where 26 people died and half of them were children. So Lisa, here I am in Ubon at all hours. I'm walking around. I don't speak a lick of Thai, and I feel safe. Everyone's smiling. There's great food everywhere. So what I fell in love with was the people.
You just actually said smiles. When I was reading, they said it's actually known as the land of smiles.
It is. It is. Thailand is called the land of smiles. And everywhere. See, the thing is that when you hear the bad things about Thailand, every tourist country has stories of horror, whether a tourist has been killed, mugged, or scammed, or whatever it may be. That happens everywhere in the world. That even happens in the United States when tourists come to the United States. They get ripped off too, and they get murdered too. But the thing is that a lot of people, human behavior shows that humans don't like change. They like to stick to their own, what they understand. So when Westerners come to a place like Thailand, a lot of things that Westerners do may be considered very offensive to the Thai people. For example, one of the reasons why I love Thailand and also why I love Costa Rica is because these two cultures are a culture of non-hostile people. They don't like confrontation, Lisa. So unlike the United States, where you can yell at someone, you can flip them off, you can road rage at them, and you're yelling at each other, you can't do that in a place like Thailand. It's disrespectful. It's a country of what we call a face-saving country. They have to save face. Mm-hmm. You can't disrespect them. So that's why some tourists get into trouble.
Right. You know, I'm glad that you actually brought up about things like, glad you brought up terrorism, but why it's so important is that they literally in Bangkok there, there's over 400 temples. Like, this is a place where Buddhism is the primary religion. And I just got to say, I love Buddhists, because what they really are is no harm. This is a no harm zone. And within amongst this crazy, beautiful, as you said, like more than 24 hours of light and partying and celebration and of life and just everything good, there's actually access, like a lot of access, to acres of greenery and Zen gardens and temples where you can really have the peace and the quiet that we do need to recharge and to pay respects, as you're saying, a better respectful human being to another.
Yes, that is also another reason. If the listeners don't know my background, I'm half Taiwanese from Taiwan, a quarter Japanese, a quarter Canadian. And Thailand, like Taiwan, is a Buddhist country. The religion in Japan is Shinto, which is kind of a form of Buddhism also. But the thing is that because it's a Buddhist country, people are so willing and so helpful. Is that, Lisa, I can be in a place like Ubon, and I can be knocking on doors and asking someone if they could feed me, and they would. I have seen in the streets of Bangkok, in the high tourist areas like Phuket or Chiang Mai, when there are Westerners, whether it's from the UK, from Australia, New Zealand, or from the United States or Canada, that go to Thailand, that just go on this alcoholic binge, and here they just are homeless, and they just spend their money on alcohol. I have seen Thai people, I mean, lay food in front of them, give them tons of money, because that's just the way the Thai people are. They want to help. They don't like people to suffer. And that's one of the reasons why I do love this country, is that everyone is so helpful as long as you respect the culture, as long as you respect the people.
It's a kind culture, too, and I find it kind of makes it easy. And I was looking at the beautiful things they have, and speaking of that culture, is they take, whether they're making the time or taking that time, to really, they have music, like when I said about the temples, they have those temples, but then they have, what's the famous wax museum, Madame Tussaud, they have that there with the, you know, everything's just so, to take the time to reflect, to enjoy. And I think when we speak about whether you're retiring at 37 or you're retiring at 70, 80, 90, it doesn't matter. What are people, like, you do asset management. So what people are always trying to manage their assets so that they can have them for as long as they can. That's kind of the goal, right? And to grow them. So when you're dealing with your clients at Compass, focus isn't just how to stretch the buck. I mean, it is, but it's also because they want to enjoy what they've accumulated in assets, right?
Yes. Well, let me clarify, is on the asset management side, we deal with very, very high net worth clients, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, hundreds of millions of dollars is their net worth. So when I'm working with clients like that, money is no object to them. But what I ask myself is that why can't I do the same exact thing and give free advice to the 80 to 90% out there that aren't worth millions of dollars, that they can enjoy a place like Thailand and how they can do it for pennies of the dollar? So that's when, you know, my business partner, Dean Studebaker, and I came up with living on $1,000 a month. And Lisa, the funny, ironic thing is that you have, you know, one of the things I dislike about social media is the comments that you get. Is that people always are very opinionated, but they always give the wrong opinion because they don't look outside of their environment. They don't step in someone else's shoes. So when I say living $1,000 a month, I'm not saying that you're living like a king. I'm just saying it can be done. You can't do that in Canada. You can't do that in the United States. You can't do that in London. So living $1,000 a month, that can include rent. That can include food, utilities, and still have enough money for entertainment. But more so than ever, when I'm talking about living $1,000 a month, is I'm making the assumption that the individual or the couple has sold their home, that has equity in their home, and they have $100,000 to $200,000 to $300,000, then they're using that money to buy a home that's free and clear here, so they have no mortgage, and then they're using their pension, their Social Security to live here in Thailand and live very well.
Right.
So for $1,000 a month, yes. If you have no housing expense, Lisa, you live very, very well here.
Actually, I'm so glad you brought that up, two things. Because when you think about healthcare and what we would need and all those things, I am so impressed with, like, you know, that people travel to Thailand for their amazing, amazing medical that they provide. It's actually like, I couldn't believe the numbers that were there. And it operates at 20%, the fraction of the cost that US even does. But before I jump into that, I was going to say what I really thought was cool was, okay, we've all heard of Thai massage. I mean, they're known for this. This is good for you. It's not relaxing because it's kind of work for you. But do you know that I looked at it for an hour? You can get a Thai massage for an entire hour for $13, equivalent of $13 US.
Actually, it's half that, Lisa. And the background of Thai massage, the reason why it's so painful and people are wondering why is because Thai, way back when, were all, you know, a lot of rice farms, they still are. So when you're out in the fields and you come back from hard days of laboring, you have to work out the sores and get back out there the next morning. So they invented Thai massage. And here, Lisa, is that yes, I could do it in the United States, but it costs me an arm and a leg, and not everybody can do it, is I get an hour Thai massage 2 to 3 times a week, and it only costs me $7 with tip.
Oh my gosh. See, that makes me want to go there just for that. And you know what? I was probably the pricing too, because there's the street massage and then they have the spa massage. You like, even when they go to, and like everybody here, I'm thinking like what you had mentioned, you know, for $1,000 a month, can you live? Absolutely. Did you say you're living like a king? No. However, there are certain things such as spa treatments, massages, luxury living of parks and bicycle trips that for a very small amount, like maybe over $1,400 a month now you're living pretty snazzily and relaxed.
I mean, think about this, Lisa, is that the average retiree, a luxury is going to see a movie, is going out to eat, getting a facial, getting a massage. Those truly are luxuries. People are like, nah, but it is. When you're on fixed income, those are luxuries. And you don't get to go to them. You don't get to do stuff like that. Here in Thailand, those aren't really luxuries. I eat all my meals out because my average meal is $1.50 to $2. I get my 2 to 3 Thai massages a week because it costs me $7. When I go see a new run movie, Lisa, it is $3 or $3.50, and my popcorn is only about a dollar. You know, it's not like $7 to $10 for concessions. So the luxuries that most retirees may seem that they cannot obtain in Western countries, in North America, in the UK, in Australia, New Zealand, they're not luxuries here, Lisa. It's affordable for everyone.
Right. I think that's the beauty bit. I love having this overview of Bangkok because it really does paint this picture. And I think the biggest thing I want to ask you more details about, and even if we have to go into next segment, well, we can always pick it up there. But when I was looking at it, I really did get this a beautiful impression. I saw that there's this river. I'm gonna say it terribly, I'm sure. But I almost don't even want to say it. But it's Chao Phraya. Nope. Did I say that
Chao
right?
Phraya. The big river. Chao Phraya is our main. Yes, it's our main river. It's the Chao Phraya River.
Okay, and they do a lot off that river.
Yes, they do. It is. I'm so glad you brought that up, Lisa. You definitely do your research. No question you do. So, like the Mandarin Oriental is located along, you know, right by the Chao Phraya River, and the Chao Phraya River has these cruises. So I've been on. If you haven't heard of it, but it's called the Banyan Tree. So the Banyan Tree is a very, very luxury type of hotel. And then the Banyan Tree in Bangkok has a river cruise. And it's like a 6-course river cruise. And it's amazing. I mean, the food is amazing. You get the cruise up and down the evening on the Chao Phraya River. You get to pass by the different wats, which are the temples. And also, in addition to that, which I was shocked, is they allow us to have seconds. And so here they're bringing in all this food, and we could even have seconds. So the Chao Phraya River is huge. And also, in addition to that, is a developer is developing a mega project along the Chao Phraya River that's going to consist of mixed use and also with residences. So it is one of the most expensive real estate in Thailand.
Okay. So now, wait, that's really interesting. So So I'm imagining this river, and I'm doing in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, that's a great tourist place. You know, we're doing the river cruises. And by the way, there's a buffet, the river cruise, a buffet one that was only $36 US. And that was like a 2.5 hours with all your stuff. Just like, and this is seafood and beautiful Thai cuisine. And so here I am thinking, okay, this is a great river. It's easy for transportation. You can get away from the crowded streets. But now that you bring up the development part, how long have they been developing, and have they already sold things there?
No, it's just been announced. And that development is going to be more for the high end. I mean, Lisa, a studio is probably going to start at $500,000.
Wow.
So here's the crazy thing is that a lot of people don't realize. So for an example, like the Chao Phraya River or this other area, which is kind of like our Madison Square Garden. It's our shopping district called Ratchaprasong. And here in Ratchaprasong, we have some of the biggest malls in the world, like Central World. We have the most Instagram spot in the world, which is a Siam Paragon Mega Mall, and that's in Thailand. So there, if you were to buy a condo, it's going to cost you the same equivalent or more of buying in Manhattan.
Wow.
But just 5 to 6 bus or BTS stop SkyTrains down, kind of where I live, it's a fraction of that. And I'm still close to the heart of everything. That's how different Thailand is.
Now, your building is still new as well. It's not, you know, we're not talking shabby here. This is, it's...
My building is 3 years old.
Yeah.
Yes. My building's 3 years old, and I have all the amenities of a first-class building, residences that you'll see in Miami, you'll see in New York, you'll see in Las Vegas, and I have it for a fraction of the price.
Right, and see, so with that, this is really neat to see that. So once this gal gets built up and, you know, we've got our beautiful, $507 things, your place, will that only increase the value of your place, or will that affect it in a negative way?
It's going to increase it. So Lisa, for my 2-bedroom condo, you know, I paid closer to 200s. The same exact equivalent condo across the street is already selling for double the price.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's only a year
definitely
old.
Definitely an investment property. It seems like it's investing rather quick, climbing the value super fast. And what your views, and just before, because I have to wrap this up shortly, but we're going to have you back soon. And just really quickly, tell us about your views, the views from your place, because I know the skyline's incredible there.
The skyline is incredible, but Lisa, I just look into other buildings and traffic, and I love it. It's like living in New York. So I love looking at city. I love looking at the life. I love looking at traffic. So that's my view.
Oh, I love that. And with that beautiful view, we will have to say goodbye for this segment, but we're going to have you back on the next one. And we're going to really talk about a little bit more about culture and investing there and how people can really get to Thailand and live on potentially $1,000 around that thing and have a fabulous life. So thank you, Will, for this episode. And we'll have you right back next week.